Welcome to this edition of the Sunday 15 of the His Show podcast. Whatever level of ball you're playing, wherever you are, it's the time to get in God's Word and get your Sunday started right. So this is Lincoln Lawing, sitting beside my main man, Austin Robinson. Have another guest in the booth today, Weston Hegg Lawing. Got a great baseball resume. Played collegiately at Lander University. Has the most doubles at Lander. He played for the Gastonia Grizzlies in the summer, franchise leader in doubles and batting average. And so I got him today, but more importantly than that, he's my brother. He's in better shape, and he's cooler than me, even though he's 5 years younger than me. So, Hegg, that's how I refer to you. Glad to have you in the booth, man.
Glad to be here.
So I talked a little bit about playing career, and tell us a little bit about anything pertinent to that or what you're up to now, because Hegg's got him a facility over in the Gaston County area. But what's been going on these days, brother?
Just running a sports facility. We're 704 Sports Academy in Gastonia, North Carolina, and bought the business from the previous owner last summer. I've been in charge now for 9 months. Hired me a full-time guy, got several good part-time baseball instructors. We've added a weight room, starting to do some higher-level stuff, and we're just really excited about the future. I'm surrounding myself with some good people, and we're trying to do things the right way and just teach kids how to compete, because not many people know how to compete anymore these days.
Well, hey, and I would say that your strength and conditioning guy's in better shape of any of the strength and conditioning guys I've seen.
That is true. So, Mitchell Painter, that's his name, and he's a very in-shape, intense human being. That's why I hired him.
He even has a full beard and a bald head. Like, he just looks like not only is he security, but strength and conditioning. So, but y'all, yeah, feel free. Y'all check Hegg out. Would love send you his way. What's the website?
704sportsacademy.com. We do baseball, softball training, do a lot of camps, classes. And, you know, this time of year is baseball season. A little bit slower with everybody's season going on. But once summer hits, check us out. And we'll have a lot of offerings for players of all ages.
Well, good stuff, man. Well, hey, today I want to just talk about something brief and kind of on our Sunday 15 is at our recording time. We're approaching the Easter season, coming up on Palm Sunday, coming up on Good Friday, coming up on Resurrection Easter Sunday. So very big deal in the community of faith and what Jesus has done for us. So I'm going to start off just reading a verse and we'll elaborate a little bit. But it's in John chapter 19. Starting in verse 28, is talking about the end of Jesus' life on this earth. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it up to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And, you know, I've been on a kick lately, guys, about how the Old Testament is a foreshadowing of the New Testament and the illumination of what Jesus came to fulfill in prophecy. And when Moses was commanded by God, when the 10th plague was coming through to cover the blood of the Israelites with the blood of Lamb, the significance of what that meant to Jesus. So you had to have an unblemished lamb that they sacrificed. Jesus was the unblemished lamb. They were asked to put blood on the sides of the doorpost, the top, and then the extra would collect at the bottom. Just like Jesus on the cross, blood on each side where his hands were, blood at the top, blood at the bottom. And they even were asked to put the blood up there with, and I could be pronouncing it wrong, hyssop or hyssop, depending on where you're from. Plant was what they lifted up to Jesus in this moment when it was finished, but also that's what they were commanded to put the blood on those doorposts with in the Old Testament. So guys, as you're unpacking the word, as you're reading the scripture, always look for Christ in the scriptures. The Old Testament points to the foreshadowing of Jesus. The Gospels document while he was here. The epistles in the New Testament say how we should live in light of Christ. And then Revelation talks about when Jesus comes back. So guys, as we talk today, Austin, we can kind of crank it up with you. When did what Jesus did on the cross become real to you, and what significance is that in your life?
I'll start out with what it means for me. I've been asked that question a couple of times throughout my life in different situations, but it's, and I've always said it's hard for me to explain what that means, because of what he did on the cross is something that we will never experience. And it's something that's greater than anything that we could ever, you know, imagine, because you think about it, it'd be like one of you guys sending your kids to die on the cross for a bunch of random people throughout the entire world. Mm-hmm. And the fact that God sent Jesus to die on the cross for the sins that us three and everyone that's ever walked this earth and will walk this earth committed, it's hard to put into words what that means, but it's, to me, it's just everything that I believe in. It's everything that I stand for. And, you know, it's unimaginable, the sacrifice that he had on the cross. And it's something that I'm forever grateful for. And because it's changed my life, it's changed the way that I live. When I first heard that God's word, I experienced it when my parents brought me up in church, and they sit me down one night when I was 14 years old, and we had a family Bible study, and you know, that's the night I surrendered my life to Christ, and just realized that, you know, I can't continue to live without knowing Christ, because of knowing what will happen to me when I leave this earth if I don't know him. And just, you know, it's an amazing experience, and it's who I am. It's a part of everything that I do. My goal is to reflect him in all of my actions, all of my words, all of my thoughts, the best of my ability. We're all going to sin. We're all going to not do that every day. But, you know, that's because of what he did, is because I can live and because of I can have eternal life when I leave this earth.
Amen. Good word. Heg, when did that kind of become real to you, and Jesus dying on the cross? I mean, what does that mean to you?
Well, obviously, you know, when I gave my life to Christ and on my day of salvation is when it really became real. But more recently, as I've matured in my faith and just, you know, had some great mentors and not just understood the importance of, you know, Christ dying for our sins and raising again on the third day, it's more of a mental picture for me, just seeing Jesus on the cross, picturing in my head the worst day in human history, the worst beating, worst torture, worst pain ever experienced. And as I've matured in my faith, I've just learned to picture my sin on that cross. On that day, it all got washed clean. It all of my sin, the world's sin, but just specifically my sin, is wiped clean. My shame was on that cross. Every bad thought, my worst day, got nailed to the cross that day with Jesus. He dealt with my sin. And I'm beginning to learn how to live in that freedom. Mm. Freedom is everything. You know, I'm as sinful as anyone in the entire world, but understanding that it's been dealt with. The sin problem for me has been taken care of by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And just as I continue to develop and grow in my walk with Jesus, that daily understanding of our sin is gone, our sin has been taken care of, is what the cross really means to me, and just this time of year, and just picturing that.
No, that's good, because I think that it's one to know that freedom in our mind, but then it takes it a while for that freedom to understand, like, the way we live our life.
Yep, and for freedom, Christ has set us free.
Exactly.
And Galatians 5:24 says, to those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified... Excuse me. To those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his sins and passionate desires. So, you know, like, that's my sin on that cross, and a daily crucifying of my flesh and renewing of my mind through the Holy Spirit, is it all started on that cross.
You're right. And the power that was displayed on that cross gives us the freedom to say no to sin. Like, that's one of the, like you said, I love that. And man, on Galatians got me thinking, Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ set us free, stand firm then and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. I love that. Now, one other thing before I kind of get into the meat here to end is, hey, when we were growing up, our dad talked to us a lot about power under control. Like, you have power, you can display that power, but how Jesus modeled power under control. How does it make you feel, or what do you think about the fact that Jesus knew he had the power to call angels down or to get off of that cross, but he willingly stayed on it to fulfill the prophecy, to finish the work that God called him to? Like, what is that? I mean, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, and, you know, he even went to God and was like, hey, is there another way? And that was, you know, he was 100% man, 100% God, but that 100% man was coming out a little bit there. And just having that power to do whatever he wanted to do, but to just wear it in the face that day, wear the world's sin, you know, for our freedom, for our eternal life. But, you know, the power side of things is we also have that power. You know, we obviously have, we're not 100% God like Jesus was when he was on earth, but we have the Holy Spirit, and that's our power to, you know, like growing up, you know, our family, we are aggressive people, and we all have certain traits that a lot of people don't understand, but without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't have a chance.
Amen. Bringing that under lordship of the Holy Spirit. So, Austin, when Jesus went to his Father in the garden, and he was basically says, can this cup pass? Is there any other way this could go down? You know, we don't see a clear response from God, but obviously the answer was no, because this is the only way to go down. So knowing that, kind of how does that make you feel when you hear a no from God? Because a lot of times we think when we don't get what we pray for, we don't get an answered prayer. But no or wait or later can be an answer. So how does that kind of play into your life?
You know, with all of us, we've all heard no as believers. And, you know, just to know that God told Jesus no, and that Jesus had to trust in him and trust in his plan that it was going to play out exactly how he said it. For us, that gives me comfort knowing that you know, he's got a plan for every one of our lives. And, you know, he calls us to trust in him as believers, and he calls us to know that he's gonna walk us through that. He's gonna be beside us throughout that entire journey process, however long it takes, and knowing that his timing is always perfect. And you know, I've been experiencing that over the past couple years of my life with me and my wife, and I talked about on a podcast last week about, you know, the journey that we're going through for the miscarriage, and then trying to figure out, you know, we know what's causing it, and we know that, and there's actually a timeline that we have to, that we're on right now, and it's a long, slow process. And just knowing, continuing to pray and ask God to, you know, for answers, and, you know, knowing that he's saying no right now, and just knowing that there's a plan, it's going to come. And as humans, you know, we're very impatient people. We, you know, our human nature wants to handle it ourselves, especially as men. And you know, knowing that we have zero control. And I think Jesus, too, knew that. In a way, he had control, but he didn't, because God's plan was already laid out. Mm-hmm. And Jesus had to trust in that, and he knew. And same with us. We've got to trust in it, and we've got to be patient, and we've got to know that, you know, that his plan is going to play out, and his plan is the ultimate plan, the perfect plan, and anything that we had in mind or that we've pictured doesn't even come close to what he's going to allow to happen in our lives.
Good words from both of you guys about the significance of that, and it's just important to realize that as we enter this season, that the crucifixion of Jesus is the basis of our faith. And why does that even have to happen? It's because when God created us, he set a standard of holiness and perfection that all have fallen short of. And the only way to atone for that or to make that right is through death and bloodshed. So all throughout the Old Testament, you see animals being sacrificed to atone for sins. And then ultimately God, fulfilling prophecy, sends his son who walked this earth sinless to be the spotless lamb, to go to the cross to die the death that we're due. So that is the crucifixion of Jesus. That's why it's so important. And I appreciate you guys sharing. Once again, this is Lincoln Lawing with Austin Robinson, Haig Lawing, and this was the Sunday 15 edition of the His Show podcast.